That's what you call sitting down at the job. Get ready here for a minute. I can stand for a little while, but not very long. My legs give out. So. Before I give my testimony, I have to bring you greetings from PEI, the Jonathan and Jessica and their family, and also the Stoltzes, Rachel and Daryl. And they're doing very well, and they bring greetings to the Listowel Fellowship. I'd like to start first with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the testimony. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your very presence, and we thank you that we can do so through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him and what he has done in our lives. And tonight, as we once again hear a story how you work in the life of a sinner, we pray that it may have an impact on all of us, and that your name may be glorified and magnified through it all. So we commit the time in your Father and loving care. In your precious Son's name, amen. Now, they can say that this is my testimony, but I rather call it the testimony of a loving God, his grace and mercy bestowed upon a sinner by the name of Gerrit van Veen. And I would like to begin with just a summary of the testimony. And then we go a little bit in more detail. And the summary is recorded, what I would like to read to you, and you can follow with me what it is. And it is recorded in the hymnal, in the red hymnal, number 308. 308. I'd like to read it. You can follow along. And that is my story in a nutshell. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace has bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footstep from God to depart. Jesus has found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy has saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face. But now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior, to tell what he knows, once more to tell it, would I embrace. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. That's my story. sinners saved by grace. I also would like to add to that a verse out of Psalm 94. You don't have to look it up, but I'll just read it. One verse, verse 17. And it says, "If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence." I'll read it again. "If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence." My testimony is not dramatic at all. Not like Saul of Tarsus who met the Lord on the road of Damascus. It is not like that at all. Some people can tell the day, the date, the occasion where it happened and everything else. I cannot. I cannot tell you the day or the date, but I can tell you the year, and that will come up, that when that I had a turnaround in my personal life with the Lord. I'm going to do it in three different segments. The day I was born to 1948, and then from 1948 to 1953, and 1953 till pretty well the present time. As most of you know, I was born in the country of Holland in 1931. I was the oldest of six children, raised in a Christian home. Both my parents taught me Christian values. The Bible was read every day in our home, usually at supper time, because Dad was gone, was chilling, he was gone to work, but at supper time, of course, he would be home, and the Bible was read. So I grew up with the stories of the Bible. I know David and Goliath, all those stories. I grew up with them, and I liked them very much. When I was old enough, my father and mother would take me to church. I was just a wee tiny fella, but I loved to go to church. Not so much to hear a sermon, because it was way beyond my intellect, but I liked to hear the singing, and I would sing with, so when I could read, I would sing with them, and I liked the organ music. That drew me to the church, and I just would like to go with my father and mother to church, just in their company. So I just loved that. So I went to church. When I was 9 years old, the war broke out in Holland. Germany declared war with Holland. It only lasted for 5 days, the war itself with Holland. They surrendered, and we had German occupation since up until 1945, when the war ended. I don't like to talk about the war and war years. There were some dramatic things happened in there, but I just don't want to tell them. But I would like to tell you one occasion what happened, because it was God intervening already in my life. In those 5 days, the village, we lived actually a little bit away from the village, was bombed. And that particular day, we did not have school. I couldn't tell you the reason why. Could be because of the war. I don't know. There was no school that day. But there was a direct hit with a bomb on the school. Now, if the children would have been, and I would have been in there, I don't think any of us would have come out alive. So God intervened already in my life of 1940. Amazing. At 12 years old, I went to the boys' club, well, that was connected with the Christian Reformed Church. That's where we went. And I liked to go there. It was, we had Bible stories and all those kind of things. And I enjoyed it very much. In 1948, our family immigrated to Canada and settled in the Alma-Drayton area. And we were one of the first ones that came to that area. We went to, there was a Christian Reformed Church in Kitchener, and we went there for a little while. The sponsor who sponsored my father would take us Sundays, not every Sunday, but some Sundays to Kitchener. But during the summer of 1948 and during the fall, more immigrants came to the Drayton area, and we had church in our home, in our house. And that lasted for that winter and through the some of the spring. And then we went to the Presbyterian Church, and we held our services in the afternoon in the Presbyterian Church in Drayton. Soon, there was enough immigrants that came to the Drayton area, and they built the Christian Reformed Church that is there today. Now, it is not the same one. It has been modernized and everything else. But that is on the same property, and that's where we went for many, quite a few years. Well, not a lot of years, but some years, because we moved to Listowel soon after. Well, not soon after, but sometime after that. When the church was built and services restored, so to speak, I went to catechism class at the urging of my parents, because I didn't actually like catechism class. As a matter of fact, I felt it was boring, in one ear, out the other. No, that was not for me. I liked the stories of the Bible, but catechism class, no, that was not for me. The time came when you're in one of those classes, and some of you probably will know that there is a time for public profession of faith. Now, usually they might have changed now, I don't know, but that time the whole class came before the elders, and the elders would ask you questions, what you have learned through the period that you were in catechism class, and the status of your faith. So I went with that group before the elders, and when it was finished, they asked me if I would stay behind. The others went out, and I stayed behind. And they kind of questioned, said, "You don't know too much about the catechism, do you, or about that?" "No, I don't." And they kind of heat and heart. And then one elder just spoke up, and he asked this question: "Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins?" And I had no problem answering that one. I said, "Oh, yes. Jesus died for my sins." Now, listen carefully, because sometimes we can answer things very quickly. And, well, I don't know how to say that. But anyway, it was with my intellect, I said, "Yes, I do." But it was not from the heart. It was completely intellect. And it showed in my lifestyle soon afterwards. But I sincerely meant what I said. Now I was a member of the Christian Reformed Church, or I call it CRC. And I was now a Christian, or so I thought. And I could take communion. But it was religion, but not a relationship. It was religion, but not a relationship. Now, we read in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. It was soon after that that I wanted to go away from my parental home. I wanted to do my own thing. Not so much working or that type of thing, but I want to get away from, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. Get away from it all and go away. I and a friend talked it over and we headed west. And now I could do what I pleased. So I thought, without anyone seeing me, criticizing me, or so I thought. But there were three things that I could not run away from. Now, I didn't know that at that time. Of course, I didn't pay any attention to it. But later on, I knew that there were three things I could not run away from. And the first one was my conscience. Brothers and sisters, thank the Lord that He put in everyone who is born a conscience. That's one, our conscience. The second one was, I left behind a father and a mother who prayed for me daily. And thirdly, there was a God. A loving God who saw me and did not abandon me. You know, you cannot run away from people. You cannot run away from situations. But you cannot run away or hide from God. I did not know Psalm 137, verse 39, verse 7. And I'd like to read that to you. Psalm 117, verse 7 to 10. Most of you probably know it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I go or flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And I take my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. You cannot run away from God. This was 1952, and I was 21 years old when I went out west. In 1952, the oil boom in Alberta had started, and especially around that time around Edmonton. So we headed for Edmonton and trying to get a job with the oil companies. And we thought, well, we're going to make big, big money. But when we got there, no job for Garrett and no job for my friend. But we knew how to milk cows. So we got a job on a big dairy ranch. And for 1952, That was big. Now it is not big anymore, but nowadays, but that time it was. They were milking 150 to 200 cows three times a day. 3 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and 7 o'clock at night. And we kind of enjoyed it. But come December, we thought we had enough. But before I go to that, I would like to tell you about the ranch itself a little bit, because that you can see how I was a sinner, saved by grace. The ranch took a lot of help to run. There was an outside crew, and of course there was the milkers and the inside crew. At least 20 people were working there, plus a cook, or two cooks, and they all slept in a bunkhouse. But the help, or the crew, whatever you want to call it, were not godly people. As a matter of fact, they were ungodly people. And that's where my conscience actually came in a bit. Although I didn't object to the language, I didn't object some of the things that they did. As a matter of fact, I kind of went along with that. So by December, we thought we had enough of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we decided we go home for Christmas and New Year. And then right after New Year, we would head back again out west and get another job. But the Lord had other plans for me. When we came back, my father, especially, and my mother too, persuaded me to stay. Don't go out west, Garrett, stay. And he said, we'll get you a job here, and you can help your dad. We had a few cows, help dad with the chores, and then you can go to work. So I got a job with construction. And it went very well. It was okay. But that summer, that was 1953, that summer I was involved in a very serious car accident. I was not a driver. I was a passenger, and there was four of us in the car. It was speed and alcohol related. It rolled down an embankment, steep embankment, several times. It cut back on its four wheels again. I don't know how that did it. It did. Of the four of us that were in the car, I was the only one that was seriously hurt. The other three didn't have a scratch. And I cannot understand why they didn't have a scratch. But I was seriously hurt. I was rushed to K&W Hospital. That night, my parents and siblings were called in because the doctor didn't think that I would make it by morning. But the Lord, in his great love and mercy, spared my life. I was 7 weeks in K&W recovering. And while in the hospital, when you lay on your back, you can move. You have time to think. And I asked the question to myself, Garrett, if you would have been killed, where would your soul be? And I had to answer, you would be in hell. When I got out of the hospital, I started reading my Bible. My Bible had been a closed book for a long time. I used to read it a bit. And I prayed to God that He would open my eyes and my mind, that I might behold, as the psalmist says, wondrous things from your law or from your word. And God answered that simple prayer by directing me to passages of Scripture. And I like to read some of them, because that changed my life completely towards God and believing in Him. I started with reading with the Gospel of John, and I'll just quote a few verses. He came to His own, in verse chapter 1, and his own did not receive Him, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Son. And in verse chapter 3, this verse, I did not know. Now, everybody knows that verse, for like John 3:16. I didn't. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that spoke to me. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been of God. Then went to the book of Romans, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, and that hit me. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, not here, but here, that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Ephesians, I think David read that the 2 weeks ago, or a few weeks ago. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together, by grace you have been saved. Now I put the we and the us, and I put I in there. Even when I was dead in trespasses, made me alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made me sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. When I read that, those verses, I discovered that with the heart one believes And it is through faith by His grace. Not what I have done, not what I can do. It is only a gift, and gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. I am saved by His grace and faith in Him. And it was when I read these truths that God convicted me of my sin, and I opened my heart to Him, and by faith claimed Him as Lord and Savior. No whistles went off, no bells, nothing dramatic. But there was one thing that happened, and that was the peace of God that passes all understanding flooded my soul. That is in Philippians 4, 7, and that was real. I had peace with God, and I had peace of God. In 1955, I met my dear wife Helen, and I got married in 1958. And she has been a tremendous encouragement to me in my walk with the Lord in many instances, and it made me think of Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, it says there. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Now that is physically, it can be, but it also is spiritually. And she has helped me up many, many times. And I thank the Lord many times for her advice that she gave me and my walk with God. We left the CRC about 39 years ago. It could be almost 40 probably. And I want to make this very clear that I don't want to criticize the Christian Reformed Church in any way, shape, or form. We went from the Christian Reformed Church. It was our own choice. Then, you know, when you start reading the Bible and God opens up your mind and He shows you things, it is amazing how He does that. And one thing, I was baptized as a baby, probably 8 days old. All our children were baptized in the Christian Reformed Church. But when I start reading, and I had difficulty with infant baptism, and I brought that up with some of the brothers in the church, and of course they have things that they say. Well, the instant baptism came in place of circumcision, and I could not find that anywhere in Scripture. That was one. The other one was perhaps maybe even more dramatic, was that Christ died only for those He chooses. Hyper-Calvinism. And I had problem with that, because what about whosoever will? Why would He choose someone to save them and choose them to hell? Now, this was, I had that with some of the elders. I argued with them, but that I couldn't get any answer that for that, except that He just came to for the chosen ones. So we left for some of those reasons. We went to the Wingen Bible Chapel for about 3/4 of a year, something like that. I don't think it was much longer. Listowel was not established yet at that time. My dad had already gone to the Wingen Bible Chapel. Terry Williams used to pick him up and take him to Wingen. So we went there for 3/4 of a year, and then Listowel started up. We had Bible studies with in the home of Lyle Bender, and they were amazing to me with John Martin. I grew very much with the lessons that John Martin taught us there. Then we, if I remember right, I think we had two Sundays in the high school church, and then we went to the Orange Hall, and also again, how long were we there, Mervyn, in the Orange Hall? Pardon? 3 years?
Two,
okay. And then the chapel here was built. I never regretted that we left the CRC. As a matter of fact, I have grown in the Lord Jesus more than I had all the years that I was with CRC. And it's been a tremendous blessing to be part of the assembly here. My story is coming to an end. I can say this, that God be the glory, because it is He who pulled me out of the miry clay. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Let's give Him thanks, and we'll sing that song together. Heavenly Father, great is Thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came to this world to die for sinners like us, for a sinner like me. We thank You for Your saving power. And if there is anyone here, O Heavenly Father, who hasn't personally claimed You as a Savior, we just pray that You will work in their hearts, that they may become children of the living King. We thank You for this evening. In Your precious name we give You thanks. Amen.